Hey there, Jen here. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to make sure that you know that our newest Miracle Month kicks off on Monday, May 6th. The theme of this Miracle Month is becoming a master of your life. If you have not joined us yet, now is the time. It's only a four-week program, the Miracle Month, and we will be together 4 weeks in May. 2024 is flying by. Let's make sure that you're moving forward, taking positive steps to creating and reinventing the next version of you, and making some positive new beginnings for a brighter, happier future. Go to widow180.com/miracle month, and you can learn more about the Master Your Life program. This is 4 weeks of group coaching, whether you're brand new to widowhood or you lost your spouse years ago. This program is for everybody. We will be going over important concepts for rebuilding your life after loss, like how to get motivated about life again, feeling more confidence, making meaning of your life, coping with change, finding purpose, being more resilient, breaking through fear, and building a life that you want. These are all the things that we talk about in the Miracle Month. We talk about attitude and mindset and emotional well-being. If you know you want more, you know you are ready to embrace life again, you are ready to welcome in joy and happiness into your life again, then this Miracle Month program is for you. Each week, you get a new workbook to use during our time together on our live Zoom calls. Head right now to widow180.com/miracle month. You can find all the information there. We start Monday, May 6th, so do not wait. That's widow180.com/miracle month. Now let's get into the show. Good morning, listeners. I hope you're having a lovely week. I am recording this episode the day after our meeting last night for the Miracle Month. It's the group coaching program that I host. And let me just tell you, this group of ladies, oh my goodness, they are just so incredible. That's not even a good word for it. I mean, here we are. We've all had this experience of loss and hurt. And the fact that we can come together and open up and be in a comfortable space to do that, I just feel so honored and blessed to be a part of their journey and to walk beside them, show them how truly amazing they are in so many ways. We get kind of blind to that, you know? Like when you're grieving, you forget to see or look within yourself because you're just so worried about everything else. So I'm so happy that I have a part in that, a part of that transformation that's happening for them. Anyway, these ladies are so wonderful. Oh, and the next Miracle Month will be coming up soon, just in case you missed this last one. This will be an all new Miracle Month with a different theme and different things we'll be working on together. So stay tuned for that. It's coming soon. I'll let you know when that's happening. But let's get to today's episode. So if you have been reading all the grief books or listening to all of the grief podcasts or widow podcasts, chances are you've heard a lot of advice about feeling your feelings. Maybe you've heard phrases like, you have to feel in order to heal, or feel your feelings, don't try to escape them. And when I ask this question in my interviews, I ask my guests, what's one piece of advice you can give to widows who are struggling? Many, many times the answer is, you've got to feel your feelings. You can't bury the grief because you need to process it and work through it. It will keep following you until you face it. That's the advice that they give. And as a person that helps widows figure out this whole widowhood mess and the messy truth of it all, yes, I totally agree with those statements. You don't want to avoid feeling your grief. This only prolongs your healing. But I also want to add a very important part to this conversation and say that sometimes you have to put those strong feelings on hold. We all know the intensity of some of your grief emotions and that they can spring up like a tidal wave and sometimes just out of nowhere. So it's not always the ideal time to let your emotions happen. I can think of several instances where this happened to me. There was one day at work, and this was just a few weeks after Brent was killed. So I was at work and trying to make it through my day when this family, they were all patients of mine, the whole family. They had come into my office because they had been patients of mine for years, and I had gotten to know them over the years, and they were really close to me. So here I was just trying to make it to the end of my day, you know, on the struggle bus as usual. And they come in with this beautiful flower arrangement for me. It was such a lovely gesture. I remember the whole family walking up to me because it was the first time they had seen me since everything had happened. And they were hugging me and they gave me the flowers, and I'm standing there. I was just trying to keep it all together. I had a waiting room full of patients coming in for eye exams, waiting to see me. There was no way in that moment I could lose it. I had to tell myself and like talk myself out of it and say, no, now is the time to be a doctor. I have to be a doctor right now. I cannot start crying. So even though it was welling up inside of me and I was truly about to burst, because this family meant so much to me too, it was not the right moment. It was not a good moment. So while, yes, it's good to feel all the feelings, and crying is so good for you. It is such a release. It's so good for you. It's not always the right time to do it. This same situation happens to a lot of you solo mamas out there listening when you're just trying to hold it all together all day long, supporting your children, keeping the house running, and you finally get some alone time at night after all the kids are in bed when you can have a good cry and just be to yourself. So I just did my interview with Tiffany Coleman on the podcast. That was episode 181. Definitely go back and listen to her whole amazing story. She is wonderful. But here's what she told me about scheduling her grief time. I know some of you have done this too. The time when she could really let out all of the hurt. Here's what she said.
I think anybody in this position, if all you do is just survive, that is doing something, because there were many moments where I was like, God, I don't know if I can do this. I really don't. It's easy to formulate an opinion on someone's journey or experience or loss when you're seeing snippets of it, be it on social media or in person, but you're not alone with that person in the dark hours of the night where weeping and questioning and prayer is there. That those were the most tender, sweet, intimate moments with the Lord, where I'd get my kids into bed and I just, you know, so many times I had to put grief on hold. I was like, I can't break down. My baby needs their diaper changed, or my son needs to go to the doctor, or whatever the case may be. But I meant that tonight I'm taking a shower and I'm going to cry my eyes out. And so I would like plan my grief. And, I'm thankful that I had, you know, the wisdom and the ability to do that. And so it allowed us to honestly, I think, get where we are now. And then from that, being able to share our story. So
there are work situations and there are times at home when your kids are around where you don't want to allow those intense emotions to overtake you. You have to get through a work meeting, or you have to hold it together until your kids go to bed. I'm not saying don't let your kids see you cry. They should see you cry because it's healthy. But there is a difference between the intensity where sometimes it's a light cry in front of the kids, and then there's the I'm on my knees on the closet floor weeping kind of cry. And that might be too much for them to see. I think we've all had both types of those moments, and many in between. The reason why I wanted to share this with you today is because of this reason. There is a fundamental difference between the two following scenarios. Number one is, I hate this emotion. I can't handle this emotion. The pain and the hurt are too much for me to handle. Therefore, I'm going to push it down and I'm going to shove it away and I'm going to distract myself from it in any way that I can because this feeling sucks. And then scenario number two is, I feel this feeling coming up. I feel my throat closing up. Yep, I'm going to cry, but I really need to get my son to soccer practice, or I really need to get through this work presentation, or I really want to go to my friend's birthday party. with a bunch of couples, but I'm feeling sorry for myself. But I really do want to go, so I'm going to hold it together until I get in the car, or hold it together until I can get home. There is a big difference between those two scenarios. You're not avoiding the hard feelings altogether. You're just postponing them for a better, more ideal time. So, when you keep hearing the phrases, you need to feel your feelings. Needing to feel your feelings doesn't always mean you have to feel them in that moment right away. Do what you need to do in the moment you're in. Take care of the important things that you need to do, and then deal with those emotions at a more convenient time. Let those emotions come out and be released later. And that's okay, as long as they are not suppressed indefinitely. That's the difference. And this is not just limited to sadness either, because we have lots of big grief emotions that surface up, again, randomly or unexpectedly, like anger, like anxiety, like overwhelm. Another example I can share with you is from a widow that I was working with. This was a couple of years ago, and she told me how she was at an open house for her son's school. So she was visiting schools and trying to pick one, doing all of the open houses. So she's there at this one school with her son in one of the classrooms, talking to a teacher, and the teacher starts talking to her about the special events and the special days that they have at the school. And this teacher starts going on and on about the Donuts with Dad Day. I'm sure you guys have heard of these, or they have like Breakfast with Dad Day or whatever. So anyway, the teacher was just going on and on about Donuts with Dad, and it's so much fun for the kids, and oh, you can bring your dad, blah, blah, blah. And of course, no fault to the teacher, right? She had no idea their story. She was just so proud of this day, this event at the school that was so much fun. But this widow is standing there, and it's busy. There's people walking all around, and she didn't get sad. She didn't want to cry in that moment. She got angry, not at the teacher, but just at her situation in general. You know, here she's going to the schools and having to make these tough decisions about where to send her son. She's making decisions that she really wants her spouse to be there for. Here is just another in-your-face reminder that you are on your own doing all of this. And she got mad dealing with the freaking Donuts with Dad Day. Now, in that moment, in front of the teacher, it's not a good time to show anger, right? She held it in. She smiled. She got the information about the school, and then she dealt with her anger and sadness when she got home later. So these are the things that happen in life, and these are the tidal waves that we face all the time with grief. Again, the moral of the story and the whole takeaway from this episode is just that you can deal with those big emotions at the appropriate time. Just because you have a feeling come up doesn't mean you have to work through it at that exact time. It's okay to postpone the big feelings, just as long as eventually you do face them and let them happen and not push them away or suppress them. Okay, I hope this was helpful. I hope you feel a little less alone and you can relate to what we talked about today. Don't forget, you can always join our Facebook group for more support and help. That's at Widow180, the community on Facebook. I'm on Instagram also at Widow180, so go and follow over there as well. Until next week, believe in the possibilities. Hey, if you're a widow and you're ready to become a master of your life again after losing your spouse, I want to invite you to join my Miracle Month program starting Monday, May 6th. I am so excited to be bringing this life-changing program to you and so many other widows. This is a four-week group coaching program where each week we will focus on what it takes to help you heal after loss and move forward to create a life that you truly love and deserve. If you feel stuck in grief, if you feel like there is so much more to life than the way that you feel right now, if you are ready to make some changes to become the next version of you, you know you want more. You know you want to be happy again and feel complete again and embrace life again, then this Miracle Month is for you. I'm going to be sharing things that worked for me and things I've learned from coaching hundreds of other widows, how you can begin to take the steps to rebuild your life through interactive exercises and group discussions. It's the magic of the energy of the group and also the mechanics of the steps you need to take to start creating a life that you love and adore. It's an amazing combination of all of it. If you are ready to take the steps, make the plan, take the action steps you need to live a life of meaning and purpose, to meet your full potential, then grab your spot in the Miracle Month. Now is the time. We kick off on Monday, May 6th, so get in now. Go to widow180.com/Miracle Month. That's widow180.com/Miracle Month.